This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Agi the Dvorov Liyakov Chukov Mishpotov LiYisrael Lo Yosol Chin L'Chol Goy. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells his words to Yaakov, his statutes and his mishpotim, his laws to Yisrael. He has not done thus to the other nations of the world. It's a posuk in Tehillim, which we say in our davening. Magid dvorov liYaakov, I understand. That his words were given to Yaakov and not to the nations of the world, I understand. Chukov, his chukim, his statutes, have been given to Israel and not to the nations of the world, I understand that too. But Mishpotov are the laws in this week's Sedra, the Beinodim L'Chaveiroi, the normal laws that govern a society. That applies to all nations. Every nation has Mishpotim. And every nation is obligated to have mishpotim. And the mishpotim of the Torah on the surface appear to apply to goyim just as to human beings, just as to Jews. That's a bad slip of the tongue, isn't it? The leisirtzach, the prohibition on murder, on kidnapping, on stealing, all these laws apply to goyim just the same as they do to yidden. So what does David HaMelech mean when he says that among the specific things that he counts, which the Jews have been given uniquely, he counts among them the mishpotim, which are mitzvah sichlius. The mishpotim are mitzvah sichlius. That means even if we weren't given the Torah, we would be obligated to keep the mishpotim. They are not laws that are given that without the Torah we couldn't have thought of. Without the Torah we would also be obligated to keep the Mishpotim. In what way does David HaMelech classify that with the section of the Torah which is uniquely Jewish? Secondly, what does it mean, Mishpotov, the Mishpotim of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So I should say Chukim Mishpotim. Magid Dvorov LiYaakov, Chukim Mishpotim, the Israel, it should say. Laws and statutes. Statutes and laws. Why Chukov or Mishpotov? His laws and his statutes and his laws. On that says the Medrash in this week's Sedrik. Lefi she'ein midosov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kemidas bosov adam. Because the way of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the style of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not like the style of the human being. Midas bosov adam meire la'achirim la'asos v'hu eino yaseh klum. When a king makes decrees, those decrees are made to preserve the honor of the throne, and therefore the king himself does not feel obligated to observe those statutes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ken elo ma shehu oseh hu omer liYisrael la'aseis lishma. What the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps, he tells us to do and to keep. Not the other way around, though. It's not that he gives us mitzvahs and chukim and he keeps them too. No. Which chukim does he give us? Which mishpatim does he give us? Only those which he himself is keeping. The Ribbono Shel Olam keeps leisir tzach. The Ribbono Shel Olam keeps leisig zod. All these chukim that we have, all these mishpatim that we have in this week's Sedra, the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps. And those mishpatim which he keeps, he's given to us to keep as well. What does the Medrash mean? What the Medrash means is that we should not view the mishpatim as laws for the preservation of a peaceful society. These are not laws given to society. That's not what the mishpatim are. It is true that a society has to govern itself. It is true that a society needs laws in order to operate. But that's not what mishpatim is all about. The laws of mishpatim, these particular mishpatim, these particular laws, are godly laws like any other part of the Torah, like Shabbos, and like Shemitah, and like Shatnez. These laws are godly laws, they're not social laws. And they must be seen as having a godly content and not merely a social content. And it's here that we get an approach to the whole limud of Seder Nezikin. We're learning Nezikin in Gemara now. Here we get an idea as to an approach, not to the technical understanding of Seder Nezikin, but to the deeper moral and ethical understanding of Seder Nezikin.
How are we to understand the godly ingredient to these mishpatim?
What is the godly ingredient to these mishpatim? We see a hint at this, and I'm going to take the approach in understanding this. I'm going to take the general approach that Reb Elia takes. We see in the Medrash a little further on. The Medrash brings the pasuk Yiras Hashem Tohiro Imedes Luad. Yiras Shemayim is pure and stands forever. Kachata Moitze Odom Shoine Medrash Halochus VaAgodes. One finds sometimes a person who is very fluent in Medrash, Halachas, Agodas, he knows it all. He knows the whole Torah. However, if he doesn't have Yiras Chet, if he doesn't have Yiras Shemaim, then he has nothing at all. Moshe Lodom Shoma Lechaveiro, this is like a person who says to his friend, Yishli Elif Midas Shel Tvua, I have 1,000 tons of produce. Yishli Elif Midas Shel Shemen, I've got 1,000 liters of oil, the elef shel yayin, and 1,000 liters of wine. Amalei chaveri yesh lecho apusikois litenos on bohem. Do you have storerooms in which to keep them? Do you have a place to keep all this? Im yesh lecho kein hakol shelcho. If you have a place to keep it, then you're entitled to say what you've got. You've got 1,000 tons of this and 1,000 liters of that. Very good. But if you're not v'im lav v'im biyotcho klum, but you should know that if you don't have storage place for all that, you have nothing. The storage is not the important thing, of course. The important thing is to have the tvua and to have the oil, to have the wine. That's the important thing. But the fact is, if you don't have storage capacity for it, it won't exist after a little while. It will go off. Kach odom. Shoine akul. So also a person who knows it all. Omrulo, they said to him, if you've got Yerushamayim, then it's all yours. All the Mishnah that you know, and all the Gemara that you know, and all the Medrash and the Kabbalah that you know, it's all yours. But if not, then you've got nothing. V'hanovi tzoveach, and the Novi shouts and says in Yeshayahu, Tzion b'mishpat tifte, Tzion will be redeemed with mishpat, v'shoveo b'tzudoko, and those who were captured with tzedakah. What does this medrash mean? So I understand, out of context, I understand what the medrash means, that if a Talmid Chochem doesn't have Yerushamayim, his Chochmah is not lasting, his Chochmah is not something that he has mastery over, his Chochmah is not something that he can fully utilize. But what's that got to do with Mishpatim? And the medrash ends off with the posuk of Tzion b'mishpat tifteh. What does that mean? What is the connection between this relationship of Yerushamayim to Chochmah on the one hand and Seder Mishpatim on the other hand? There are several midrashim at the beginning of the Sedra that connect up the end of last week's Sedra with the beginning of this week's Sedra. The end of last week's Sedra, Ma'aksiv l'malo minoinyan, you mustn't go up on my Mizbeach. The ramp of the Mizbeach has to be a ramp and not steps. And then it says with a vav, ve'eile ha'mishpotim, continuing directly from what went before. What's the connection one with the other? Omer Rabbi Avino, k'shem shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisakoyenim shelo yipoisim psiyus gasus agabi ha'mizbeach. Just as the Ribbono Shel Olam warns the Kohanim that they must not walk in an ugly way up the Mizbeach, Hela yuyu merhalchin ekiv betzad gedel, but they should walk with small steps, their heel next to their toe, they should just walk with small steps, one in front of the other. Kach hizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu es adayonim שלא יפסיעו פסיעות גסס על הציבור, שלא יפסיעו פסיעות גסס בדין, that the Dayonim must also be careful not to walk in an arrogant way in din. That's what the Medrash says there. I'm not going to go right now into an analysis of that Medrash, except as to say that we see that the Chazal insists that there is a connection between the end of the last week's Sedra and the beginning of this week's Sedra. Says Rashi at the end of last week's Sedra, Asher lo yisagale ervoscho, she'al yedei ha-malos ato tzorich l'harchiv b'siyosecho. If there are steps leading up to the Mizbeach, you have to take wide steps as you walk up. V'yafapi she'enu gilu yerva mamish. And even though, of course, that does not mean that the Kohanim would chas v'sholem be uncovering any nakedness, although the Pasuk says, do not go up on steps up to my Mizbeach, in order that you should not uncover nakedness on the Mizbeach, that's not so, says Rashi, because they weren't wearing only tunics, sharik siv, also the michnasei bad, they had trousers they were wearing. Mikol mokoim harchovis hapsius koruv l'gilu ervavu. Nevertheless, walking with wide steps, It comes close, it approaches Gilui Erva. The ata noyeg bohem minag bizoyun, and therefore it's an ugly way of walking. It's true that if you're wearing trousers, then it's okay, there's no Gilui Arayis. But the fact that style of walking, if they wouldn't be wearing trousers, if they would only be wearing a tunic, would be an ugly way to walk, it would be one of Gilui Erva. Therefore, even with trousers, it's not a nice way to walk. An interesting concept.
V'harei dvorim kal v'chomer. And we can learn from here a kal v'chomer. U'ma avonim halalu she'en bohem das l'hakpid al bizyonon. These stones which do not have the intellect to take exception to being embarrassed, nevertheless, they're only stones, they're not people. Amra Torah, nevertheless, the Torah says, hoil v'yesh bohem tzorech l'itanaik bohem minag bizyon. Since they have a need, they're important. They fulfill a purpose. You shall not treat them with disdain. Your friend who is created in the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who makpid al bizyono, and he is makpid on his bizoyon. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so you would be careful with them. That's how Rashi ends the Sedra last week. So if we take that as the introduction into Mishpotim, we see that Mishpotim deals not with the rights of human beings, but with the care that has to be exercised not to in any way embarrass or cheapen one's friend in the exercising of one's right. Sometimes one thinks, I have a right, and therefore it's all, whatever I do is in order. No, you have a right to walk on the Mizbeach as well. So the Torah says you've got to walk up on the Mizbeach in arrogant fashion. You've got to walk with modesty. Says Rashi, kal v'chomer, you have rights to handle certain people in certain ways, but there are limitations too. There has to be sensitivity to the kovod of the person that you're handling. And right away the Torah then goes into Mishpotim, and where is the Mishpotim that it starts? Ki sitnei eved ivri. That's the most dangerous area, your employees. You've got an eved ivri, you've got an employee who you've purchased. So he's the ultimate of employee. But not so simple. He has to be watched. One has to be very careful how one treats an eved ivri. The Ramban learns it slightly differently, the ethical meaning of the Mishpotim. The Ramban says in the beginning, Ve'ele ha-Mishpotim is keneged lo itachmoid. These Mishpotim relate in the Aseres HaDibris to the commandment of thou shalt not covet. Ki im loy yedo ha'odom mishpat habayis oy hasode ushar ha'momim. For if a person does not understand the mishpat of the home, the field, and other monetary areas, yachshev shehu shaloi, he will think it belongs to him, v'yachmedeyu v'yikocheyu le'atzmoy, and he will covet it and take it for his own. V'fichach omer tosim lifnei mishpatim yeshorim. Therefore Moshe is told, place before them straight mishpatim. Yan higu esom beinehem. They should use these mishpatim among each other in their interrelationships. Ve'lo yachmedu ma'aseinu shelohem min hadin. And they should not cover that which is not theirs halachically. It is important to know, says the Ramban, the boundaries of ownership. How far do your rights go? Because if you overstep that, you'll come to loy tachmed. You've got to know what is yours and what isn't. You're not even allowed to want rights which are not yours.
So for that you've got to know what your rights are. So we see already, both from the Ramban and from Rashi, that the Yesod of Mishpatim is not the revelation of the rights and obligations of each. You're allowed to own an Eved, and this is how you acquire it. That's regular Mishpatim. Every nation has Mishpatim such as those. The Chiddush and Seder Mishpatim is the limitations placed on those rights. That's what the whole Seder is about. The Seder is not just to tell you how to acquire a slave, and that the slave works for you. The Seder is that the essence of the Seder is to tell you, to teach you, how far you can go with a slave and no further, where the limitations are. One has to realize that in the exercise of your rights as master over your slave, you are bound by certain limitations which have to be observed meticulously. Such as, Ki toiv lo imo say chazal, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, and it talks about a slave saying it was good with you. Imoch, says the Gemara, you see, imoch means that he lived with you. That means imcho mamush. He's got to be with you absolutely, living on your standard of living. If one takes in an Eved Ivri, who is the Eved Ivri? How did he become an Eved? He's a nobody. He was a ganav. He stole. He didn't pay back. He was unable to pay back. And he had nothing. He had no friends or relations who were willing to bail him out. So you can imagine the kind of person who used to land up being an Eved Ivri. Nothing. He hasn't got a penny to his name. A thief. And he's got, in many cases, that was the case. And no family or friends are willing to bail him out. He becomes an Eved Ivri. So I've already done him an enormous favor. I've taken him in, and I've paid him the money he needs to pay off his creditors. And I've given him shelter and food. He comes in. Isn't that enough? No, says Chazal. It's got to be Imcha. He's got to live on your standard of living in every detail. He eats what you eat. He sleeps the way you sleep. He sits the way you sit. That's how it is. If you entertain your guests in the lounge, he entertains his guests in the lounge. If you have a roast for dinner, he has a roast for dinner. Absolutely no difference between the way you treat yourself and your own family and the way you treat an Eved Ivri. And that's why Chazal say, "Koine Eved, koine Odon Le'atzmai." You need to know that if you're buying a slave, you're in fact buying a master for yourself. The obligations exceed the rights. You've got more obligation than you have right, and therefore one is in fact acquiring additional responsibility, not additional privilege. That is the nature of an Eved Ivri. That's what Mishpatim is all about. Mishpatim is not to tell you the Chiddush, you can buy a slave. In every society one could buy a slave. The Chiddush is to tell you, a slave, Imcha. He's got to be with you, he's got to be treated in that particular way. And one can't go over that boundary. And that, says Rashi, is the Kal Vachomer from the end of last week's Seder, which introduces this week's Seder. You have the right to walk over the stones, and the stones don't feel anything. You might think, therefore, you can walk with psi or gasso, you can walk arrogantly, astride. No, that's not a fine way to walk. It's not nice for the stones of the Mizbeach. And they have a purpose, and therefore anything with a purpose has to be treated with derech eretz. How much more so another human being, even if it's only an Eved. Even if it's somebody you've already done goodness, doesn't matter. There are limitations. The Torah preserves his kovod. And you have to be sensitive to that. And you have to relate to that kovod with meticulous care in every single area. The din is that a slave is not allowed to do things in public that show that he's a slave. A person who's not a slave can do it, for example. If you're walking in public, he can't carry your suitcases for you. If you come off the aeroplane with heavy suitcases and your Eved's there to meet you, he's not allowed to carry your suitcases. A schir, somebody you've hired, is allowed to carry your suitcases because he's got pride. He hasn't sold himself. A sochir, a person who's working for you, you're paying him to carry the suitcases. Fine, that's his job. A porter can carry suitcases, but an eved not, because it's humiliating for him. So what does one have to do? Rebellion, in fact, describes, imagine an old man, sick, comes off the aeroplane, and the waits for the case, and there's an enormous young Eved, muscles all over the place, and the suitcase comes off the carousel, comes round on the carousel, and the Eved is about to lift it up. The other man says, "Not you. I've got to carry it. That's the din. I've got to carry it. You're not allowed to carry it. Why? You're covered. That's not the way to treat a slave. I've either got to hire a porter, or I've got to carry it myself." And there you would see the old man schlepping the suitcases,
and the Eved walking next to him, not carrying a thing. That's what an Eved is.
That's the Mishpatim of the Torah.
The Mishpatim of the Torah is not that you're allowed to have an Eved. That's Poshet. The Mishpatim of the Torah is how to treat that Eved. That's Mishpotov. That's godly Mishpatim. That's got nothing to do with preserving social norms and preserving a society. If the Eved would carry the suitcases, would society suffer? No. Society wouldn't suffer, the Eved would suffer. The Torah is protecting the covered of the Eved. And therefore there's an inherent godliness in that Mishpat. There's an inherent godliness in that law. That's the godliness that the Medrash refers to when it says that the Ribbono Shel Olam only gives us those Mishpatim which he himself preserves, he himself observes. This is a Mishpat which is godly, this is a Mishpat which the Ribbono Shel Olam observes. Care for the covered of another person. Even an Eved. Care, being aware of his pride, being aware of his ego, and taking care not to shatter that ego in any way.
Those are the limitations of Mishpatim. The Ramban says there are other aspects to the godliness of these halachas. For example, Yesh b'shiluach o'eved, says the Ramban, b'shono ha'shvi zeichel itzias Mitzrayim anizker b'dibur harishon. Part of the sending of the Eved out of the 6 years, there's a zeichel itzias Mitzrayim. K'mo she'omar bo, as it says, v'zochato ki Eved ho'yiso b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yiftecho Hashem elokecho. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem brought you out. Al kein anoichi metavko es hadover hazeh hayoyim. That's why I command you this thing today. So this part of the mitzvah of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, when you send the Eved out after 6 years, it's not just to give the Eved a break, it's not just because his contract is terminated. There's a Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's like Pesach. One is using the Eved as a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, one's using the Eved like Matzah. One's performing an act on the Eved which reinforces our belief and the basis of our beliefs in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's an expression of godliness. Letting him go after 6 years. V'yesh bo et zeichel ma'aseh bereishis k'shabbos. And there's also an element of zeichel ma'aseh bereishis like Shabbos. So in letting a slave go out, it's not because of social reasons. It's not because of the Society for Cruelty to Slaves. That's not the reason. It's zeichel ma'aseh bereishis. It's like Shabbos. It's like saying Kiddush. One takes the Eved and one says, in order to commemorate the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh, you have now worked for me for 6 years and I hereby let you go, and by that I am reaffirming my belief in the Briyas HaOlam, in the creation of the world by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki Ashona Ashvi's le'eved Shabbosim Mimleches Adonov Kiyim Ashvi, for the seventh year is a Shabbos for the slave like the seventh day is for us. V'yesh Ba'id Shvi B'shonim, and the seventh, Yeshua Yovel, and the Yovel is the same thing. Yashvi Nivcha Beyomim of Shonim of Shmitas. Seventh is a special day and a special year and a special Shmita. V'hakol inyan echod v'hu yisoid yomei soilam ibreishis ad v'yichul. This is all part of a principle in the Torah. V'lochein ha-mitzvah azoy sru'uyu lahagdi moiso. And says the Ramban, that's why this mitzvah comes first in Seder Mishpotim. Shehi nichbedes ma'od. Because it's a very kovedika mitzvah, this mitzvah of letting the Eved go. This is ben odem lemokum, this has got nothing to do with the slave. This is merely an expression of Shabbos, an expression of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what's happening here. Remezes dvorim gedolim b'maaseh bereishis. This hints at very important aspects of the creation of the world. So again we see this principle, seeking in each of the Mishpatim not the social law. That's not what the Mishpat is. That would be Mishpatim, but these aren't just Mishpatim. These are Mishpatov. These are the Mishpatim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. These are the Mishpatim which the Ribbono Shel Olam himself keeps and himself observes. And in the study of these Mishpatim, we must seek out the godly element in them, the godly factor in them. And that we see in the way that Ramban learns the Mishpatim, in the way Rashi learns the Mishpatim, in the way the Medrash learns the Mishpatim. The Midrash says also further, Kach gozo shiyuyu Yisrael meshubodim b'mitzrayim ad shiyirotze v'yachzirim. The Ribbono Shel Olam decreed that the Jews should be kept in Mitzrayim until he was ready for them and he would take them out. Omdu aleihem v'shibdu esam b'chizik. The Mitzrim, the Egyptians, got up and they enslaved them with rigor. Lo shemordu bohem. Not for any reason, the Jews had not rebelled against the Egyptians, just stam as it. Omer lehem aloikim, ha'elokim, anheg bohem ka'avodim, v'yasu tzorcheim, ad shetishlam ha'gzeiro. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, treat them like slaves and they can work for you until the gzeira is over. Elo ani katzavti miyat. I was a little bit angry with them. V'heim ozru laro. But the Egyptians went too far, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kach, achar hadibris. So, after the Ten Commandments, hizhir HaKadosh Baruch Hu al ha-mishpotim. The Ribbono Shel Olam warned us about mishpotim. Sheloi yavru aleim Yisrael. That Yisrael do not overstep the mark as the Egyptians did. V'yaseh lohem k'shem she'osu le-mitzrim. Obligating the Ribbono Shel Olam to do to us what he did to the Mitzrayim. See what that Midrash says? What an amazing Midrash. Mishpotim are there to preserve us from the excesses which we saw the Mitzrayim practice. The Mitzrayim observed, did what they were supposed to. There was a decree, there was a gzeira, that they were supposed to work the Jews. So they were fulfilling the gzeira of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why were they punished? The famous question. The Midrash itself answers. Because they went too far, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. I was only a little angry. I said, you can use the Jews, they may work for you. But that you should torture them, I never said that. So you took your rights over them too far. You saw them as your slaves, and you figured slaves belong to me, like my horse, and like all my other animals. So a slave belongs to me. And you went to an absurd extreme in slavery. That you were not entitled to do, and that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us mishpotim, to set limits to our rights. Not to give us the rights. The rights we have, but to set limits to the rights. Only so far can you go, and no further than that. Kach Omar Hanovi Lohim Li Yisrael. That's why the Novi says to Yisrael, Emes u'mishpat shiftu, judge with truth and mishpat, ve'amona ve'yosum ve'ger ve'oni al tashoki. But be careful, don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the convert, and the poor person. It's all very well. Mishpat is uncompromising. Mishpat cannot distinguish between people. Mishpat is harsh. It's hard and harsh. Justice is uncompromising. But one has to be very careful when it comes to justice to know how far. Because one step over the mark, and that becomes very serious, then one's making the mistake that the Mitzrayim made. And Seder Mishpotim comes not to give us the rights, but to lay down the limits to our rights. Exactly how far we can go, and no further than that. Ramban gives the example also of the obligation to feed the wife and children of the Eved. Why is that? I buy the Eved, I didn't buy his wife and children. Why do I have to provide food for his wife and children? It says the Ramban, because the wife and children depend on the husband for food. Now the husband is working for the Eved, so they don't get it. He isn't able to buy them food. So really, the slave should say, let them go to the Chevra Kedisha. Let them go to the Gemilus Chasodim. It's not my business. The man stole, and he can't pay. He's lucky enough that I'm prepared to take him as an Eved, so his food is being looked after in return for work. I've paid him, and he can pay his creditors. Otherwise, he's got a family to worry about. Good, the community must worry about his family. I don't have to worry about his family. They're not working for me. But he has to feed them. V'chol zeh chemlo meis Hashem aleihim. All this is a kindness from the Ribbono Shel Olam, sympathy from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Alo Eved and on the slave. Shelo yomus betzaroi b'hiyos amoloi b'veis nochri ovonu v'ishto yunezovim. That he should not die of heartache worrying about his wife and children who are abandoned while he works for a strange master. Ribbono Shel Olam feels what that Eved must be thinking, what he must be worrying about, the well-being of his family. What happens when nowadays when they put somebody in jail? This is our equivalent of putting him in jail. We don't put him in jail. We put him into a good home, where not only will he be productive, but he'll hopefully learn. The Balabos will teach him how to be a mensch. And he's treated like a mensch. The only thing is, he has no freedom. We're still worried about his family. If we don't look after his family, he's going to be punished too harshly.
So that he's lost his freedom, that's his punishment. But who says he's got to die of a broken heart worrying about his family? That not. So the master has to pay for the family and for the wife and children as well. When society puts somebody in jail, they say that we've progressed, that our systems, that our social systems have gone far beyond the Torah. The Torah was primitive. You hear people saying that slavery was still practiced in the Torah. Nowadays we just throw people into jail. That's far more developed. And when we used to put a person into slavery instead of into jail, we used to worry about his wife and children, that he shouldn't spend his time there being concerned about them. When they put somebody in jail, what do? Pay for the wife and children as well. Not everybody has got the opportunity like Mrs. Mandela, who's Sakai looked after and has thrived on her husband being in jail, and I understand is dreading the day that he comes out because a lot of the privileges might cease. But not every convict's wife has that privileged situation, and the convict lies there worrying about the welfare of his wife and children. Strictly speaking, according to the Torah, he is not obligated to look after the owner, the master of the slave is not obligated to pay for the children and for the wife. But since it is normal for a man to provide parnosa for his wife and young children, the Torah in its mercy commands the master to be like a merciful father to the children of the Eved. That's the relationship that has to be legally obligated. In theory, no. But that's what the Torah wants. That's mishpotov. Those are the mishpotim of the Ibrahim Mishnah. Every society allowed people to buy slaves. These nuances of the laws of slavery that make it mishpotov, the mishpotim of the Ibrahim Mishnah, godly mishpotim, that no other society has. That only Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam, taught Yisrael how to practice justice with a soft hand, or with a soft heart at least. How to practice justice with sensitivity, with feeling, with mercy, and with sympathy. All this explains to a large degree an interesting observation further on in the Seder, the famous pasuk where Bnei Yisrael say to Moshe Rabbeinu that Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh V'Nishma, whatever Hashem has spoken we will do and we will keep and we will listen. Earlier on, only a few psukim before, they say a similar thing. They say, "Vayomru kol advarim asher dibir Hashem nasu." All the things which Hashem has spoken, we shall do. What's the difference between these two statements? Firstly, the first statement leaves out nishma. The first statement just says, "All the things which Hashem has commanded us, we will do." The second one says, "We shall do and we shall hear." There's an addition of "we shall hear" in the second one. Secondly, the first one says, "Kol hadvarim," all the things which Hashem has spoken, we shall keep. And the other one just says, "Kol asher diber," whatever Hashem has spoken. It doesn't talk about the things which Hashem has spoken, all which Hashem has spoken. What is the difference between the two? Says Rashi, in the first case, what were they given? What were they referring to when they said naaseh, when they said we will do? Zayin mitzvah shenistav b'nei Noach, they were taught the seven mitzvahs of b'nei Noach. Shabbos, they were taught about Shabbos. Kibud av v'eim, they were taught. Pora adumo. Bedinim shenistu lohem b'mora, and all the halachas which were given to them in Mora. A whole lot of halachas they were given. About that they say, Kol hadvarim asher diber Hashem naaseh. All these things which Hashem has spoken, we shall do. Later on, what are they given when they say naaseh v'nishma? Says Rashi, there they had been given Sefer HaBris, the Book of the Covenant. What's that? Mibreshis v'ad matan Torah. They had been given the story from Breshis right until Matan Torah. On that they said naaseh v'nishma. What's the difference? In the first case, they had been given a set of halachas. Shabbos, Kibud av v'eim, Pora Aduma, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, all sorts of halachas. Is there any real connection between these halachas? No. Each one has its reason, each one has its purpose, and they're given these halachas. So there they refer to Kol, plural, all the things, Shabbos, Parah Aduma, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Kibud Avayim, the Dinim of Mara, all these things, Naaseh, we will do them. They are halachas, we've heard the halachas, and we shall observe the halachas. That's all. But afterwards they're given the whole Torah from Bereshis until Matan Torah. There they say it's no longer Kol HaDvorim. Kol HaSher Dibur. Now they understand that these Dvorim, these different halachas, is all one Dibur. This is all one instruction from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is all interconnected. This is part of a system. It's no longer Kol HaDvorim HaSher Dibur HaShem. This is now Kol HaSher Dibur HaShem. This entire structure, the Torah, from Bereshis until Matan Torah, Naaseh, we shall do. Venishma, but we realize that doing is not enough. We need to understand their interconnectedness. We need to understand the system. To keep them as separate halachas, that already we've said before, we'll keep them. That's not the problem. Now we've got to keep them as part of a system, but to keep them as part of a system, you have to understand them. For example, the Mishpotim we've just been looking at. It's all very well to say, Eved Ivri, these are the halachas. Handle an Eved Ivri, fine, I'll keep the halachas of an Eved Ivri. But there's much more to it than that. There's a feeling. There's a fine, fine refinement that has to go into the handling of an Eved Ivri. It's not all listed, it's only examples are given. Just says Imoch, he must be with you. What does that mean with you? Good, so Chazal say he must eat the same as you eat and sleep the same way as you sleep. If you sleep on a Sili Postopedic, he must also have a Sili Postopedic. They'll have the same as you sleep. Fine, that's all Chazal say, but what about other things? That you've got to extend it to every area. But to extend it to every area, you need sensitivity. You need to understand the principle that the Eved Ivri is not just an expression of rights over another human being. The Eved Ivri is a chepsa shel mitzvah, is an object of mitzvah. Just as you've got a pair of tefillin, and you've got a sefer Torah, and you've got a talis, so there's such a thing as an Eved Ivri. He's an object to which we relate in accordance with specific halachas laid down in the Torah. And I use him to fulfill that whole halachic structure, which is part of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's part of my affirmation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's part of my belief in the Briyas Ha'ilom, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. I use the Eved Ivri for that. That's his function. His function is not just to work for me. A talus can keep you warm. You wear a talus, you come into shul on a cold day, you put the talus on, it keeps you warm. But that's not what you're wearing the talus for. Wearing the talus is a chepta shel mitzvah. The Eved Ivri can work for you, but there are much better ways to get somebody to work for you than to take an Eved Ivri. Taking an Eved Ivri is a mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of keeping all these mitzvahs, but for that there has to be nishma. Only if you've heard, if you've understood where Eved Ivri fits in to the system of the whole Torah, where it fits in to one's belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, where it fits in to walking on the steps of the Mizbeach, where it fits in to Yetzias Mitzrayim, when one understands all that interconnectedness, the nishma of the Torah, then we can be nicer, then we can do it properly. And that's the chiddush that B'nai Israel say afterwards. They realize this is no longer a set of laws. This is one system of life. This is a system of avodas Hashem. And every detail in this system is part of that system. And every detail in the system is essential to the functioning of the complete system. And if one lacks that sensitivity, Rebellious says, look at the order of things. What comes after the Eved Ivri? Make ish vomeis, meis yumas. If a person smites another one, he shall die. And the next one, v'chiyozid ish al re'ehu lahorgo ba'orma. If a person makes planned a deliberate act to murder his friend using skills of deceit. And the next one, makei oviv v'imoy. Person smites his parents. Look at the deterioration of the type of thing that we're talking about. From handling an Eved Ivri to murder, smiting a parent, goinev ishu mechore, kidnapping, makalil oviv v'imoy, cursing a parent. So it goes down. What's the connection between all that? Rebellion brings the pasuk from Mishlei, which we learned only a few weeks ago. Oira chayim lemalo lemaskil. The way of life goes upward for one who is, for one who understands it. The man sur misha'il moto.
so as to save him from Sheol down below. Says the Vilna Gaon, Ha'odom nikro hilich. A human being is called a mover. He's always moving. That's interesting that altogether the human being is built with a capacity always to move. He can't stand still. It's not possible for him to stand still. And if he is standing still, then he needs to move physically. To stay completely in one place, he can't. If he's progressing, then he's settled. If he's moving intellectually, and he's moving spiritually, and he's moving emotionally, and he's moving socially, and he's moving professionally, he's happy to stay in one place. The moment he starts moving around and getting unsettled, you know that he's stationary. The more physical mobility there is, the less spiritual mobility there is. There's no need to move physically if there is spiritual mobility. If one is moving, if one is feeling constantly elevated, one doesn't have to move physically. So one has found the Gedolei Yisrael always sat in one little spot, quiet little towns, out of the way, and there they grew and grew and grew and grew. There was no reason for them to run around. One Chassidish Rebbe said that now we're living in the wheelchair generation. People can't sit, their chairs can't stay in one place. They're going to be moving their chairs all around. Got wheels on their chairs all the time. People need the feeling of movement because they feel change that way. They feel progress. I was there and now I'm here. They've got to change jobs. People in the old days used to stay in a job for a lifetime, for their full working career. They used to stay in a house for a lifetime. Some people used to stay in a house for a lifetime, maybe move once, family got too big, move to a bigger house, but stay for a lifetime. Children would grow up in houses that their parents grew up in sometimes. And the father, there was a sense of stability in the world. Rav Meir Soloveitchik told me that his father told him that it is impossible for our generation to appreciate the menuchas nefesh that used to exist in Russian towns before the revolution. It is impossible to understand what that menucha was. That complete lack of distraction and disturbance. Absolutely settled. This total state of being absolutely settled until the Russian revolution took place. We're living in a day today where everything's movement and one changes jobs and one changes houses and one wants to always change. You find people who are always redecorating their houses and buying new furniture for their houses and trading their motor cars in. Always something new. Always there needs to be this illusion of movement. Why? Because the Adam is a hoilech. Man is designed to be on the move. But the intention was that he would be spiritually on the move and physically settled. If we're not spiritually on the move, we need to move some way. And we express that movement physically. And he goes, Tomid midargo ledargo, from step to step, says the Vilna Gaon, Vim lo yale lemalo, and if he is not moving upwards, yered mato mato, then inevitably he moves downwards. But he can't stand in one place. It's like an aeroplane flying in the sky. It can't stand still. If it doesn't move, it falls. Ki efshar shiyamid bedargo achas. For it is not possible to stand in one position. And that's what the Pasuk means, that a way of life of Torah elevates one in order to save one from falling down to Sheol. The elevation is not a luxury. Oh, life of Torah, look, I'm elevated. The alternative to elevation is total self-destruction. There's nothing in between. Says rebellion, it's frightening to think what he says. See these fine thoughts and feelings that there has to be in the employment of an Eved. How caring one has to be, how sensitive one has to be. And what if one isn't? So one isn't a good balabos. No, says Rebellion. If one isn't, one is slowly, slowly cultivating the middle of arzorius. One is slowly cultivating the middle of cruelty, of insensitivity. And then step by step there comes murder, there comes smiting a parent, there comes kidnapping, and so it goes down step by step, until one comes to the lowest levels of human activity. That's the nature of human activity. If there is no elevation, then there can only be deterioration, and there is no limit to how far the human being is able to deteriorate. So one finds that in the preservation of Mishpatim, one can keep justice. But if it's not the Mishpat of the Ribbono Shel Olam, if it's not Mishpatov, if it's not his Mishpat, we run the risk that very mishpat, that very justice, inculcates a harshness
and a sense of cruelty. If, on the other hand, we develop the mishpot of the Ribbono Shel Olam, mishpot of his mishpotim, we develop sensitivity, we develop fineness, we develop refinement in the imitation and the emulation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the practicing of his ways and the acquisition of Kedusha.